And welcome to another edition of Mind, Body and Chow. With today being International Women's Day, our focus in the discussion after the workout will be focused on women's health. Then about a quarter to two, inshallah, we'll be joined by life coach Sumaya Kuvadia. And on Teen World, we're discussing addiction and why do teens get so addicted so quickly. We find out all of the different aspects to this topic, inshallah, that happening at a quarter to two. But now it's time for the verbal fitness sessions, and we're joined on the line by Ronald Evergy. He joins us right now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
I'm so tired.
Don't be. It's time for verbal fitness sessions on Mind, Body and Chow.
I think we have to punish Salim today. He has to join us for the exercises. Ronald, assalamu alaikum. How are you, bro?
Wa alaikum salam. That's not punishment. It's a blessing.
Yes, you're right.
After his help.
Alhamdulillah.
You know? So, yes, definitely. But Salim, thank you very much. Please keep that finger in check. But I hope everybody is well, and I'm excited to get everyone healthy.
Brilliant stuff. And it's about drizzling, I think, outside from where I'm sitting. I can't see too clearly, but how's the weather out where you are, Ronald?
Well, I'm at in Northcliffe right now, and on the hill here I can give you a weather forecast that it is very overcast. Wind is picking up, so please gel your head and keep the scarves on, or else it'll be blown away. And it is drizzling ever so slightly, so please be safe on the roads if you are driving.
Wonderful. And usually with this type of weather, it's cooler for, it's allowing for, easier in terms of getting a workout. You don't get so hot and bothered. So cool like that. Let's go for the workout, Ronald.
You know, very simple today. So we're going to incorporate a lot of mobility exercises today and bring in some fun activity as well. So if you do feel any discomfort, please, no matter your age, no matter what injuries you might deal with, adapt your body accordingly, because you know your body best. Mm-hmm. But push your body to the point whereby you're challenging it to feel the muscles work and feel your chest work out, whether it be to loosen it up with stretching or to working it out with cardio and strength. Okay, so, Brother Judge, you made a good point that although this workout is great to train in, I mean, the weather is great to train in, mm-hmm. you need to be careful that as it gets colder, one needs to warm the body up even more so. Mm. Because when you get colder, a lot of the blood goes away from the extremities of the body and focuses on the core of the body, your upper body torso, and your internal organs are there. So wherever you are, let's warm up quickly, and I want you to imagine you skipping again. I love this exercise. I was doing my skipping this morning. Mm. So imagine you skipping on the spot and go, and then both legs at the same time, jump, jump, jump.
Can I skip this one?
You can skip, brother. You can skip. You know, Liverpool's doing so well, you can skip a lot of things. Maybe even till next season. But everyone else can skip out there. All right? Yeah. Go, go, go. Imagine you skipping. Now from there, I want you to lift both knees, one knee up at a time, as though you're running on the spot, skipping, skipping, skipping. Now, accentuate your upper body skips. So make those circles bigger so you also get a shoulder workout. Good, let's go for it. And each of them you do for 30 seconds each. And finally, I want you to do a double time skip. So you're going to go as fast as you can with your legs and skip as fast as you can. It's called double time or double speed. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Another 30 seconds. All right, fabulous. There we go. Now, today's workout, now that we've warmed up the upper body, the lower body, that was done for a reason. Mm-hmm. And the reason is that I want to bring in some mobility exercises. So from wherever you are, stand up, hold on to something for balance. And all that I want you to do is swing your leg side to side. Your right leg will swing out to the right side as though it's a pendulum, and then swing back past your other leg onto the left side. Now, what this does is it loosens up your hips, it forces mobility in that hip area, and just alleviates all of the back pain and just discomfort, generally speaking, when you are inactive. So let's loosen up those hips, right leg first, right swing. That's it. Do this 10 times on each leg. Left swing, 10 more times. Great. One more time to the right, 10 times. One more time to the left. Great. Now, from that position, the next exercise is very simple. We've mobilized the hips. I want us to go as though you, again, I love this exercise. The reason I love it is because it actually works. So I want you to keep your feet wider than shoulder width apart, mm-hmm. toes pointing forward. And imagine you're about to sit on a bench. All right? And hold that position. So you bend the knees as far as you can, and you're going to hold that position. Now, from the next exercise, we're going to go into the upper body, all right? And I want us now to mobilize the upper body while working the legs. So essentially, we're multitasking. That's why it's International Women's Day, because women can multitask. Us men can only hope and try.
That's right.
So from that position, I want you to do big arm circles backward while your knees are bent, as though you're sitting on a bench. Big arm circles back with those arms. Five, four circles back. Loosen up the shoulders and the upper back. Three, two, one. Let's circle it forward now. Hold that position with the legs. You should feel the legs burn. Two more times forward swing. One more time forward swing. Great. Now from that position, what I want you to do is put both hands on your hips. Keep your legs in a wide position as though you're squatting onto a bench. And I want you to transfer a little bit of weight onto your left leg more. So you straighten the right a bit, put more weight onto the left, and then change over and put more weight onto the right. What you're doing right now is weight transference. So you're adding more weight onto one leg than the other, giving you an isolated workout so that you don't dominate on one side only. You work both areas. And you're going to be doing this alternating motion at a very relaxed pace, not too fast, not too slow, and you do it for 30 seconds. That's it. Keep it going. Five, four, three, two, and that is how simple the body workout is today, giving you a burn in the muscles, giving you looseness in the hips, and giving you blood flow to look after your health, to look after the fat burn.
Wonderful stuff, Ronald, and I'm contemplating whether I should give you a yellow card because you missed the pun earlier on when you were doing the skip exercises. I asked you if I could skip it, but you missed that. So next time, it's just a warning now, next one,
oh,
the yellow
very
card.
Very much so, very much so. Remember, I'm on a level of support, so I can't keep skipping the goalposts. So yeah, let's keep it at that.
Ronald, another thing as well, you must tell the listeners, warming up does not mean now as it's getting colder to switch on the heater. That is not warming up.
You hit the nail on the head, brother Jazz. I love that. You know, the joke is that many people think warming up is putting on more clothes or, like you said, standing by the heater. No, it's not. Warming up essentially is getting your blood to pump, getting your heart to pump, getting a light sweat on the forehead so that you feel a little bit out of breath to prepare the body for the workout ahead. Because if you don't do it, you're risking injuring yourself and you're risking doing more damage than good to your body. So warming up is mobilizing the body rather than mobilizing the gas heaters.
Mm-hmm. Ronald, now let's go into this discussion on International Women's Day. What are the most important things a woman can do on her own to protect her health?
You know, the first thing first is for a woman to understand and know her body. So you need to keep an keen eye out for early signs of any health problems. So be very conscious thereof, whether it be lack of energy, lack of sleep, whether it be that there's a little bit of weight coming around the trunk of vision, creaks in the knees, etc. Be very conscious thereof. Eating a healthy diet, including all the major food groups, is a must. Trying to exercise for at least 30 minutes a day is a must. Maintaining a woman's bone health is critically important because you need to have a lot of calcium-rich foods, low-fat dairy products as well, and do weight-bearing exercises as well. Go for regular health screenings, and women are more likely to heed this advice than men. And finally, Brother Ejaz, women should take some time out for themselves. You know, just spend some time on themselves, because more often than not, a woman puts herself last on the list of priorities because it's family first, kids, husband, it's career, it's other things, you know, lots of other things besides the woman, themselves as a person. So really prioritize yourself, pamper yourself with a manicure, a pedicure, or a shopping spree if you can. Just focus on yourself as well every now and then.
Brilliant stuff. And listeners, remember, you can ask your questions. Ronald will try and answer them. Inshallah, he's with us for the next 6 minutes or so. You can do so. SMS 48855. You can WhatsApp 0727861548 or tweet at EJAZ_K. Now, Ronald, what are the most important nutrients for a busy woman?
You know, the important nutrients, like we mentioned, one key one is calcium. Mm. The second one is that women go through something that is absolutely phenomenal. Although I really don't want to go through it because of the pain associated at the end, is birth and being pregnant. So you need to ensure that you have a lot of essential vitamins and minerals in your pre-pregnancy vitamins and those kinds of things. The other thing that becomes key from a nutrition perspective for a woman is that you need to have a lot of vitamin D, vitamin C, looking after your overall system, because the woman also has a lot more hormones than men do in the context of estrogen and progesterone in higher quantities. Even the women have a small amount of testosterone as well, don't forget, but not enough to make them look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. So you need to look after a full, balanced, nutrient-full diet. And the key thing about that, Jazz, is that women need to drink a lot of water. Women have become more predisposed to diseases of lifestyle, especially heart disease, than men, purely because the women are literally skewing the way that they eat in a negative direction, not active enough, and not managing stress well enough. And that's compounding their risk of diseases of lifestyle.
Indeed, you're listening to Mind, Body and Chow. We've got Ronald Evergy, the fitness and wellness expert, on the line with us, and we're discussing mental health, or woman health rather, on International Women's Day. Now, another question that has come in, Ronald, it says here, how much exercise does a woman need for weight control?
Oh, this is a lovely question, you know. The first thing is this, is that when you look at, there's two parts to that question, is amount of exercise, and the second part is even more important, is weight control. Now remember, when it comes to your weight, there are two things that play a major component for you as a woman. One is the exercise, or women and men. One is exercise and activity, one is nutrition. But for a woman, there's an extra component that tends to become an excuse over time, and that is the hormonal changes if you are going through menstrual cycles. Now, you got to keep in mind that the amount of exercise you've got to do minimum for health is 30 minutes every day. The amount of exercise you have to do to ensure that you burn fat and keep your weight in a controlled level and maintain your muscle tone, that is literally pushing at between 30 and 45 minutes at a medium to high intensity. So it's not just how much exercise, it's also the type of exercise. And women need to do strength and resistance training as well as cardio.
Okay, another one that has come in, it says here, if a woman is not overweight, does she still need to exercise? And if so, what benefits will she gain?
Oh, most definitely. Exercise is the one thing that a woman definitely needs to do at any and every age during their lifespan. And the reason is that if weight isn't your concern, remember, exercise is there to look after your overall health. Yes, we can focus on weight if that's a concern. But for women in particular, women are at a higher risk of osteoporosis and osteoarthritis and also bone diseases. That's why I said earlier, calcium and so forth is important for women to ensure good bone health. And the reason is this. Women have less muscle than men, generally speaking, in their body. And muscle supports the bone growth and supports bone strength. But as a woman ages, they tend not to do a lot of strength exercise. So what happens is this, they risk brittle bones and arthritis more so than men. So when you're exercising as a woman, you need to do it to look after your health, to look after ensuring that your entire body functions optimally. So from your menstrual cycles to menopause to different areas and pregnancies and so forth. But the key thing is to prevent bone damage and brittle bones in the long run, because later on in life when you do slip and do fall, you end up breaking bones a lot easier, and women are more prone to that.
Brilliant stuff. And I was just about to close it, and I think a message comes. Yeah, this one says, Salams, do you have to warm up before walking also?
I would advise it, and here's why I would advise it. Now remember, a warm-up is not a totally separate activity to what you do. You could even walk on the spot for 60 seconds to warm up. The reason you do it for walking in particular and running is that you look at the motion of the ankle. The ankle mobilizes, the calf is worked as well, the hamstrings, the knees and the hips. By warming up, you force the heart to pump blood throughout the body from your heart right down to your feet, so you begin to, in essence, you moisturize the joints. You prepare the muscle for what's coming ahead so that you don't feel a lot of stiffness and cramps, especially when you're walking, and you can maximize your walk. Because when you tend to walk on uphills, your calf will pull stiff more if you don't warm it up and prepare it for that activity ahead. And as you go downhill, you'll feel more pressure on your knees because you have to buffer yourself from tumbling down. So it's very resistant on the quadriceps. So you're really going to enhance your walk if you warm up. And remember, 60 seconds of walking on the spot, high knees, and then hit the road and enjoy the walk.
Brilliant stuff. Jazakallah khair to all the listeners for sending those questions through, and Jazakallah khair, Ronald, for answering them. We look forward, inshallah, to picking it up tomorrow. So you have yourself a wonderful day, and we'll speak to you tomorrow afternoon, inshallah.
Inshallah. And everyone be safe on the wet road, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Ronald Evergy, fitness and wellness expert, speaking on all things women's health on this International Women's Day. In a few seconds' time, we'll be joined by life coach Sumaya Kuvaria. We're still discussing teen world, and today we're focusing on teen addictions. So stay tuned to Mind, Body and Chow. Yes, it's time now for Teen World with life coach Sumaya Kuvaria. She joins us now on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sumaya.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi, Charles.
How are you doing today?
I'm very well, alhamdulillah. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well, alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair for asking. Sumaya, we're continuing with the teen world discussion, and there's lots of interest in this topic. And let's start it off. Today's discussion is on teen addiction. So from where is the word addiction derived from?
Yes, that's very interesting. You know, I came across this, Ijaz, and I thought I'd like to share it with, you know, with your listeners, since they're just so highly intellectual. And knowing that, you know, the word addiction is derived from a Latin term for enslaved by or bound to. So, you know, when you think about enslaved by or bound to, you know, that is what addiction basically is.
Makes sense. And what are the three ways addiction manifests in the brain, Sumaya?
Okay, so we're not going to, you know, expand on this. We're just going to touch on, you know, the three distinct ways, which is the first one is craving for the object of addiction, mm-hmm. be it food, drugs, alcohol, whatever it might be, right? The second one is loss of control over its use. And we see that happens all the time when you're addicted to something. And the third way is continuing involvement with it despite adverse consequences. So this is basically the three distinct ways that it manifests. This is how addiction manifests.
Okay, I see a message on Facebook from Arila. Mm-hmm. She says, in sports, speaking about teen addictions, because we were asking people, well, you know, how do they feel about teen addictions? And she says, in sports, competitive nature, where you can't take losing, parental pressure, peer pressure. Sadly, the intentional misuse of performance-enhancing drugs in sports, such as steroids, undermines the value of clean competition and fair play. And we see this that with Maria Sharapova's story today, where she has been tested positive for a banned substance. So there's lots of different pressures, Sumaya, in terms of addiction.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, Ijaz, because, you know, when we spoke, I think it was 2 weeks back when we spoke about the essence of adolescence. And, you know, one of the ways that when our kids go to schools, schools have a way of making children very competitive instead of making them collaborative, right? So it's that, and then parents, again, we enforce that competitiveness in them instead of saying that, you know what, you need to work together as peers, because why is it that teens go to their peers? Because there's safety in numbers. You know, everybody's doing the same thing. But here we come with another concept and we teach them that competition is good, so they want to be the best in everything. And in order to be the best in everything, then you have to go to, you know, to things that sometimes are going to have adverse effects on your health, your well-being and everything else.
Right, I see another one from Naima. She's saying absent parents can contribute to teen addictions. And then Mumtaz Musa Sali saying not peer pressure anymore, but the need to cope in a fast-paced world.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's so true, because the teen pressure thing is, I think that's our go-to excuse, the number one excuse where we say it's just teen pressure. Yes, that is one aspect of addiction, but it's not the entire story.
Now, Sumaya, what makes a teen so vulnerable to addiction?
You know, Ijaz, we've been talking about dopamine and, you know, its effects last week and this week as well. Remember, again, dopamine is that, you know, that drive for reward, that pleasure that comes about when we take on risky behavior or any kind of novelty kind of behavior. The reward of that is a dopamine burst. And what a dopamine burst does in the body, it's a sensation of that complete satisfaction and pleasure. You know, when you take on a project or a task and you achieve that, that feel-good feeling is a dopamine burst. That's right. What happens. And we've already established, and, you know, worked through this, that dopamine is very, very active in a teen's brain. So that means they permanently want to have this dopamine rush. And what I like about, you know, I think one of the, you know, one of the SMSs or emails or Facebook messages you just read now,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, about absent parents.
Yes.
You know, the emotional aspect of we not involving ourselves in our teens' lives is what draws them to addictive behavior. Mm. Because when we look at what happens in addiction, you know, in the brain, it's the brain recognizes pleasure and it ends with a drive towards compulsive behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the brain registers all kinds of pleasure in the same way. It doesn't discriminate between, you know, a kind of food pleasure or maybe a nicotine pleasure or a heroin pleasure. Everything is the same for the brain, right? So whether their teen is speed driving or paintball shooting or skydiving or whether they're drugging, it's all the same kind of satisfaction, right? Because the dopamine release is exactly the same.
Right. Now, Sumaya, in this, what you were speaking about, mm-hmm. the common factor I see is dopamine. So can we say that dopamine is responsible for addictive behavior or not?
Well, dopamine is responsible for the addictive behavior because remember last week we said, Ijaz said, you know, all kinds of addictive behavior releases dopamine in the brain.
Mm.
And a teenager needs that dopamine just to feel good sometimes, you know, all the time. I want to feel good so that dopamine gets released. And with addiction, what happens is, think about it from a teen's perspective, right? As parents, what happens is we parent our children when they are children in a different way because we can be a little bit of, you know, of dictators at that time. You know, tell them this is how you should do things and this is what you should do. And a child just responds to that. Because they feel my parent knows and, you know, you're telling them what to do and it's okay with them. All of a sudden, this child becomes a teenager. They enter their teen and adolescent period. They are changing. But how many parents' parenting styles are changing?
Mm.
And I promise you, very rarely can you say that a parent's parenting style is changing. So we still want to be their dictators. We still want them to do what we want them to do. Very rarely do we you know, allow them to have not their own views or their own ways, but collaborate with them and see what's going on with them from their perspective. So what happens then? A teenager is just feeling devoid of joy and pleasure. If there's no pleasure in the home environment, no sense of safety and security, they're going to look for it from something else. And that something else to all parents, let me tell you, is the drug addiction, the alcohol addiction. You know, the nicotine addiction, because from there they're getting their dopamine release. Dopamine doesn't last for very long in the brain. You know, if an adolescent is addicted to drugs, that feeling could last for a very, very small amount of time, but then they go down and immediately they want that feel good fix again. So they go back to the drug and that's the cycle of addiction already starting off in that teenager.
That's where I hear the question. Yes,
mm-hmm.
it does. It does indeed. Here's a question that has come through. It says, why do some teens become addicted while others don't?
Because the thing is, you know, when we go into the novelty-seeking behavior, Ijaz, you know, when it comes to the essence of adolescence, one of the things is that a lot of teenagers probably are going to try it out just for novelty. I'm just trying something out, but I'm not addicted to it because it's a novelty. Once I tried it out, I don't like it.
Mm.
Another teenager that's going to get addicted to it, remember, it's becoming a source of comfort for them or it's a solution to something that they can't cope with. And more often than not, it's that home environment. So it goes back to home base. Parents, what's very important, and adults, if you've got teenagers in your life, your role that you play in their life is of utmost importance because it's so crucial. That part of the developmental phase is so crucial. And you know this mindset that we as adults have that, you know, teenagers just need to grow up. They just, you know, a bunch of individuals that don't know anything. They're these ignorant know-it-alls, right? That is completely wrong to think that way.
Mm.
Because instead of supporting them and helping them, we're allowing them to go to different things and different routes. It's going to make them happier, to find their pleasure somehow, some way. Because remember, they got a teen brain. They are hardwired in that moment for emotional intensity. So they're going to be disrespectful to you. They're going to be different with you. Your parenting style has to change. You can't be an authoritative parent. You know, not an authoritative, you can't be an authoritarian parent. You've got to change to authoritative parenting.
Indeed. Now, Sumaya, how can we as parents, teachers or mentors, how can we minimize the effects of this difficult phase that would lead a teen to addiction?
Again, it's Ijaz, you know what, start talking to them more. Open up the lines of communication. You know, as parents, really get involved in your children's lives. See what is making them unhappy. Learn to talk about those, you know, those aspects. Certain things that you want them to do, rather put down your views as to why you want them to do it. Allow them to bring in their views as to why they think they should do it, and then come up with something in the middle that works for both of you. So that's almost like, you know, collaboration and a win-win situation. In that way, the teenager feels that I'm being heard. You know, there's respect given both ways as well. And that's how we can minimize this, you know, very vulnerable period where a teenager can become addicted to substances that's just going to cause not just them, but the entire family so much of heartache and sadness and pain.
Okay. Here's I think we have time for one last question here. Mm-hmm. It says, I have a very rude and rebellious teenager. No hiding or shouting seems to work. How do I deal with this kid?
Okay, you know, again, hiding and shouting, you know, this caller knows that it doesn't work. And honestly, hiding and shouting doesn't really work with a teenager because you've got to deal with them differently. Again, it's that mutual respect, right? Mutual. Give them that respect as well. Let them know that their views are important. What they're thinking about life is important. Open up more so that you can get content. You know, the one thing what parents always do is, they ask, why did you do a certain behavior? Why doesn't really give you any kind of content? Rather go with the question and ask, what made you choose this kind of behavior? Or what makes you behave in this manner? The child is going to give you more content and you're going to get to understand their world better. So let go of the why questions. Go with what questions.
That's does make a lot of sense, Mia. And we've come to the end of the program. Jazakallah khair for those pearls of wisdom. As always, it goes so quickly this time. But Jazakallah khair again for joining us. I'm sure we'll pick up another aspect of a teen world next week. It's very interesting and lots of parents are learning so much. So Mia, Jazakallah khair for your time. You have yourself a wonderful day.
Jazakallah, always a pleasure. You too, Ijaz.
Okay then, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
And that was Sumaya Kuvadia, life coach, talking teen world and all things teens. This week we focused on addiction, and I'm sure next week she'll bring up another important aspect. It brings us to the end of the program, and time has flown by so quickly, like the rain falling from those clouds outside. I think it's raining. No, it's not. I think the aircon is leaking. Maybe, possibly. We'll see, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for joining us on Mind, Body and Chow. We'll pick it up tomorrow again at 1:30. Thank you for your questions and for your ears from myself and Tufail. For now, it's...
Assalamu alaikum.
Before we close, just a reminder, after the 2 o'clock news, inshallah, there will be a discussion, is it today, on Suraya Dadu will be joining Sister Fatima Mullah, yes, that is her name, on Teen World, on Timeless Teens, Afternoons Alive, that is the name. They'll be discussing Israeli Apartheid Week. It's very important on all of our different Drive Time shows. We've been focusing on Israeli Apartheid Week at least for one interview. I know I'll be getting one for Mufti this afternoon, inshallah. So stay tuned. Coming up after the news, lots to come up on Radio Islam International. From us again, assalamu alaikum.